Mike Dempsey. Look, I hear from people all the time who are having tax problems, but don't be afraid of the IRS. Right now, you can talk or meet with local professionals that are here to help your specific tax issues. Accelerate your tax solution with Accelerated Tax Solutions.
The Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, so here we are, one day after it was all Las Vegas Raiders, 27-11 over the good guys. The Jaguars showed up, they played hard, but obviously they were unprepared. And you know what? It's okay. And the reason why, they only had a couple of padded practices. And, you know, I really questioned this from the get-go, and you know, who am I to do that? We're talking about a totally new regime, one that demands respect as well as gives it player to coach, coach to player, and in this case, players. And he's also a Super Bowl winning coach. But, you know, I'm still a little lost as to why they did not start practice earlier. You look at Las Vegas, they got out a week before Jacksonville. Every phase of the game last night, the Raiders were a better football team than the Jaguars, and I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they've had far more practice time, including padded practice. There's only been two for the Jaguars. You got it on Sunday and Monday, and they looked rusty. Clearly, a night ago, Las Vegas was the more physical football team. They were the more prepared football team. They're also a better football team. They were a playoff club 1 year ago. The Jaguars right now are in a complete rebuild. They had 15 starters out of their 21. It was either 21 or 23 players who did not go. It was 21 who did not play last night for the Jaguars. So, yeah, it doesn't look pretty. I know it probably, for some of you, may have ruined your Thursday night and even put a negative spin on you on this Friday. I'm here to tell you, just relax. Take a deep breath. Enjoy the weekend. Now it's an opportunity to get into the flow of the preseason and the regular part of the preseason. Three straight games. It'll be one now a week from tonight at home. That's good news there. Then another home date before they wrap things up in Atlanta. So you have three straight weeks for much better evaluation. And, you know, that's the way I look at it. Unfortunately, there are some negatives that came out of last night. And, you know, I'm going to talk about that openly here over the next couple of hours. I also had an opportunity to get in the locker room and talk with many of the players. So we're going to replay each and every one of those interviews. On the surface, the first thing that sticks out to me is, why can't this football team stop a screen? I mean, it's football 101. I thought Doug Peterson had a great answer to that a night ago. They did not game prepare. They did not look at Las Vegas film. They didn't overlook or look at Las Vegas personnel. Okay, they are going through what they're trying to assemble right now as a staff in Jacksonville. Their offense, their defense, their special teams. And I believe that is going to change this weekend before the matchup against Cleveland. We'll see the next time we get an opportunity to talk with Doug Peterson. But as far as preparation for that particular team, that did not come into play a night ago. And I thought Peterson made another really good point when he came out and he stated that for the most part, and listen, nothing is written in stone, but typically in the NFL, when you see screens, when do they happen? They happen on third down. Last night, Vegas was running screens on first down. Last night, Vegas was running screens on second down. So, you know, they did some stuff last night offensively. I even thought they did some things last night defensively, including some blitzes. And you're going to hear from Walker Little and Luke Fortner coming up in just a little bit. I know I asked at least, about some blitzing last night. So, yeah, the Raiders are ahead of Jacksonville as far as what they have put in to their team and what they want to do. But I just want you to be aware of that because that's a huge factor. You know, once this organization moves forward, you're going to start to really prepare for what teams do best. And then you got to line up your defense for that. And obviously, when you turn things around, line up your offense to try to expose your opponent's defense. Still, the screen game was bad. And it feels like one of the most talked about players from last night, if not the most talked about player from a night ago, where there is about a 50% opinion going either way, is on Chad Muma. And I had a chance to talk with him as well. People thought that he played really well a night ago. There are others that thought that his head was spinning. Give the kid a break, man. He was playing at Wyoming a year ago. This is a former safety who has all the tools to do everything. And, you know, I even asked him the obligatory, were you thinking too much while you were out on the field last night as opposed to just playing football? And he says, absolutely. Again, we'll play that for you coming up in a little bit. I'll let you hear from the linebacker. But, you know, he did not have a consistent ball game. I was surprised in Shaq Quarterman because he's really been, in my opinion, one of the guys so far in camp that has really impressed me. He looked faster to me this year than he did in his previous 2 years. Watched him, you know, his whole east to west, his closing speed and everything else. He looked lost last night. It wasn't a great game for Shaq Quarterman. So, going to have Devin Lloyd. You're going to have Oluokun, all right? Oluokun led the NFL in tackles last year in Atlanta. Devin Lloyd is a guy that once he can get that hamstring 100%, has all the ability to run all over the field. So you look at those two off-the-ball linebackers, I think they're going to do a much better job protecting and defending the run. My obvious concern is what if one of those two goes down? What's going to happen there? Last night, Chad Muma, Shaq Quarterman left a little bit to be desired. So the run defense, a little bit alarming to me as far as I am concerned. You know, we did see six starters out there defensively. Roy Robertson-Harris, Trayvon Walker, I'll get to him in a moment. And you saw your starting contain, right? Shaq and Tyson Campbell on the edge. And you had Cisco and Jenkins patrolling the safety positions. You know, you got some defensive burn last night from some starters, and that was good to see. Trayvon Walker, that's scary. I mean, that was just raw ability last night, what he was able to do, rushing the quarterback or, you know, rushing and creating some pressure. It was the backup left tackle for the Raiders last night, Brandon Parker. I know he got a whole bunch of starts last year at right tackle for the Raiders. I want to say he had double-digit starts, 11 or 12, during the 2021 season. But he has moved over now to the right, to the left side, and he is a backup. Walker did a real good job against him. I thought it was an awful penalty. I mean, what is this, the NBA? I mean, come on. Stidham had just barely release that football as the contact was coming. You've got to be kidding me. I really wonder about this league as we move forward. I mean, in 5 years, they're going to literally be flags on quarterbacks. I mean, what a just awful call in his first ever play. And, you know, you'd love to say, well, he's going to learn from it and that the team is going to learn from it. Are you kidding me? I'm not telling them to change anything. I thought it was an awful call by the official. He went after it last night and made a real good move on Brandon Parker. I thought his sack in his very next drive was promising as well. I also felt it was a major mistake by Stidham to try to move up in the pocket where he did to get rid of the football. That's probably why he's a backup in the NFL, but let's give credit where credit is deserved. Trayvon Walker did some nice things last night. Also, a great tackle on a run where, again, he showed just how quick he is at the line of scrimmage. I think there's a feeling with Walker that there's going to be a lot of plays this year where he doesn't get credit for it, statistically speaking, if you understand what I'm trying to say. I think he's going to be able to for instance, on his sack, if you go back and watch the way that he rushed on the outside, he totally eliminated any possibility of anyone getting outside of him. And about a minute ago, I said Stidham made a mistake of moving up in the pocket. Well, maybe he was so concerned that he saw Walker on the outside edge as to where he was that he figured in that very short period of time in his head that all he really could do was go and try to sneak through that lane where, again, Walker cut back across and was able to grab him there for the sack. But, you know, there's school of thought by many that Trayvon Walker is not going to have as many sacks or tackles for loss or pressures that a first pick in the draft is expected to have. But because of his presence and because of the way he does his job, he is going to allow those next to him to pick up those type of numbers. I don't want it to sound like, hey, we're a month away from the season, and for crying out loud, Ballou's already making excuses for the top overall pick, Trayvon Walker. No, again, you're a smart audience. Jacksonville gets it. It's these hammerheads across the league, you know, with the national media who hate the fact that they have to come over here and cover the Jaguars, and they're lazy with their effort. And again, it's pretty simple just to look at a guy's stat sheet and say he's not living up to what he is supposed to be doing, not knowing some of the other things that he brings. The other side of it is he is the top pick, and you can't be, you know, the defensive version of, you know, the great decoy that Reggie Bush was for years. When you draft Reggie Bush in that particular setting, you're expecting Reggie Bush to give you 100-plus yards from the line of scrimmage and score a touchdown in each and every game. But Trayvon Walker, yeah, we'll talk about those other things, but he is also going to produce. I thought it was a very good game for him last night as a rookie. Also really liked Arden Key. He's been kind of lost in all of this. If you know, there's a couple of one-year deals. We're all aware of the Evan Engram one-year show-me deal. I think it was around, what, $9 million for Engram, and he's really been the talk of camp because there hasn't been consistency with Engram, and we did not see him a night ago. He has flashed at times and made just some brilliant plays. Then there's been other situations where he's just dropped routine footballs, and you know, that can't happen with a team that won three games a year ago. You can't make mistakes. And Jacksonville made mistakes last night. But you know what? The mistakes they made last night, those guys are going to be working at Federal Express, or they're going to be tending bar over at Glenn's Liquors. I mean, they're going to be done in a couple of weeks. The mistakes that, for the most part, were made last night isn't as alarming to me as it is others. For instance, who am I looking at here? Nick Ford. I mean, Nick Ford had a chop block. It ruined a first down play, and it really spoiled a drive when Jacksonville was absolutely struggling in the first half. I mean, you look at plays in the first 30 minutes, the Raiders ran 44 of them. Jacksonville ran 22 of them. 22 plays in 30 minutes? Time of possession last night in the first 30 minutes of football, 20 minutes and 18 seconds for the Raiders, 9 minutes and 42 seconds for the Jaguars. I mean, that's flat-out puke material right there. But when you look at some of the mistakes, I mean, the big fumble by Hall, can't happen. That just can't happen. He's gone. Okay, the chop block, and then another false start by Nick Ford. Can't happen, all right? He's gone. So don't worry about it. Those aren't going to be anything that you're going to have to really consider once we get into regular season mode, because those players are not going to be here. Arden Key is a one-year player here, another show-me deal, $4 million. He picked up two sacks last night, and if you watch the way that he did it, it was intelligent football, but it was also drawn up wonderfully by Mike Caldwell. They were both stunts by Arden Key, and he's a guy that's not going to get mentioned much, all right? He is going to be a snap count guy. And how many is he going to get a game? 12? 15? But I believe that they can do a variety of things for him. I believe in a standard 3-4, he can be an outside edge. He certainly has shown that you can move him inside along with DeJuan Smoot to bring some interior pressure when you have Walker on one side and Josh Allen on the other. That's my guess right now if you're starting nickel defense. Key on one side, key inside with Smoot, and then, you know, Walker and Allen coming up off the edge. Arden Key, very good performance last night. I'm very excited about being able to witness that. So, you know, there was some good last night in this game. Back to some bad. That's the quarterback play. All right, Jake Luton, no, it just didn't work. Missed way too many wide receivers. Didn't look like he had control of the football game. Kyle Sloter was worse. You know, C.J. Beathard just brought himself back on Monday and Tuesday. We saw some Monday 7-on-7 work with C.J. Beathard. We saw his first team 11-on-11 work on Tuesday. The Jaguars are keeping two quarterbacks, all right? It's all about Trevor Lawrence. And much like Trevor and really any other team, for the most part, I mean, how many backups can you really hang your hat on in the NFL? I know Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. I won't mention his name because I don't want you to get the white knuckles as you grab your steering wheel when you're driving home. But if Trevor goes down or any starting quarterback goes down, for the most part, you're really screwed in this league. I think C.J. Beathard is an adequate backup. They need to find a practice squad guy. It's not on this roster. It's not Jake Luton. No, it's not. And it's not Kyle Sloter. So those two should be cut. You need to go out and find yourself a third quarterback to put on the practice squad as far as I am concerned. Health, always important, okay? How were you feeling last night when Tyson Campbell went down? Had a long conversation with Sal Palantonio, who happens to be a huge fan of Duval, okay? And there's not a better guy in the media than Sal, and I'm lucky enough to have him on. I try not to overdo it, and last night, he's like, I love coming on to Jacksonville. I always love visiting Jacksonville. Anytime you want me, just call, and I don't like to abuse the privilege. But we were going back and forth about that field with the 40-minute rain delay and just how bad that turf was, and can you risk sending guys out there? And there was nervousness being felt last night about, can you put guys out there and risk injury? And that's football. You never know what you're going to get. You just don't. And they're going to play games in rain. They may play games in frigid temperature and in snow. Obviously, they're going to play games back in Jacksonville early on that are going to be incredibly hot. That's what's so interesting about this game is you have to adapt with Mother Nature. But when Tyson Campbell went down, how many of you out there, let's get a showing, were like, why in the hell is Tyson Campbell playing? I knew all along Tyson Campbell should not be playing. That's it. He's down. His season is over. All right, he got up. Let's give him some credit. He came back and played. He did have a stinger. He reportedly is fine. Good news there. As far as I am able to understand, everything health-wise for the Jaguars last night ended up being fine. And that's good enough now with three preseason games remaining. But I think for a few moments there when Campbell, because he has been just spectacular early on in camp, when you saw him on the carpet, that certainly was not good news. All right, opening comments tonight and every night brought to you by my good buddies over at Schmunez Vision. Dr. Neil Schmunez, he's been doing this now for 37 years. That's the experience. And, you know, I'm trying to do a show here from the Holiday Inn Express, and a bunch of ladies just walk by. They're all holding Miller Lights and other acidic cocktails, and they're like yelling at me because they want a shout out right before I go on. I'm like, listen, I'm trying to be professional here, but I mean, it was just like a parade, and there was probably 8, maybe 9 deep, and I mean, the clothes they wear, or perhaps they don't wear nowadays, are somewhat distracting. Anyway, back to Shmunez. Shmunez Vision, a family organization. They focus on personal, high-quality medical and surgical eye care. I had major eye surgery 8 years ago. I had no idea. I mean, just went in for a normal checkup, you know, get some new contacts, get an eye exam. And he's like, bro, you got an issue. You got to get this thing out now. I'm like, all right, let's do it. Went in. He took the deep dive, removed the cancerous cells or whatever it was in my eye, and it's been perfect ever since. Whenever I visit, everything is as expected. That's only part of what they do there at Shmunez Vision. All right, Dr. Catherine Shmunez, fellowship trained in cornea, cataract surgery, and all refractive surgery combined. That's more than 30 years of laser eye surgery. Visit ShmunezVision.com or give them a call, 299-2906. Shmunez Vision, care you can see. All right, we're busy. Here's the deal. Any Jaguar question you have, anything, 641-1010 on the text line, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. I'll do my best to answer those for you right here tonight. If I don't have an answer, I'll go fishing. All right, I'll go fishing once I get back into Jacksonville. They do not practice today or tomorrow. They'll have a practice on Sunday. I'll still be here for the Pacelli induction, but I will certainly be there Monday morning for the Jaguars practice, and we'll have a show at 6 o'clock on Monday, so I'll be able to answer each and every one of your questions then. But I also want to answer them right now after last night's game. So 641-1010. Again, that is on our text line, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Let's do that, and let's come back, and let's go in the locker room. Let's hear from some of the players who played in last night's game, including Snoop Connor, and we'll also hear from Walker Little. That'll be on the other side as we get things rolling on this Friday with JJ. My name's Rick Ballew.
Renewal by Anderson and 1010XL present Tony Baselli's Hall of Fame Induction Weekend Canton Into the Night with Rick Ballew, live from the place where dreams do come true. Brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air.
All right, thank you to good folks at Snyder Heating and Air. Where else would you rather be? Dreams come true. Right here in Canton, Ohio. We're on a little walk today, try to get, you know, all that sweat everything out from being in the box last night and probably overeating and got hung up in a shower downtown Akron, you know. It doesn't only happen in Jacksonville. It happens out here as well in the great state of Ohio. All right, want to play the Snoop Connor interview for you. It's one of many that I was able to do one night ago. Let me address one thing here before I do, because I'm getting a lot of people who are reaching out to me, and I just want to acknowledge it. I am no longer the Jaguars sideline reporter. I have been replaced by the NFL Network's Bucky Brooks. He is now the sideline analyst, so it's a totally different scenario and or situation where he is going to provide much more than I did provide. Of course, he played for the Jaguars. He's a really good guy. I spoke with him last night quite a bit, and I'm happy for Bucky Brooks. So he's going to be able to provide more national exposure for Jacksonville. They got to win. I mean, if you don't win, nothing's going to change. But Bucky's going to be real good in that field as a former player, and he sees things and understands things that I don't as a guy who played the game. I do want to tell you this, though, man. 8 years, I freaking loved it. I loved every single moment of it, and I was truly blessed. Don't get me wrong. I wish I could have continued with the role for a couple of more years. I absolutely enjoyed it. But, hey, man, things happen, right? Life happens, and there's certain things that you cannot control. It was a blast. And the people that I worked with, absolutely spectacular. They're friends of mine. And, you know, I was lucky enough to see every NFL stadium, lucky enough to go over to London for 6 years and all of that. The travel does get old, okay, but I still wanted to do it for more years. But it's come and it's gone, and I'm fine with it. It's not going to have any effect on what I do here during my normal show, and I'm just going to go back into the press box now and do what I did until the 8 years that I spent as a sideline reporter. Just one thing, though, that I want you to know. I never took it for granted, man. And every time I ran out on that, you know, out of the tunnel or came out, I always thanked, you know, everyone for allowing me the opportunity. It is the greatest job in the world to stand that close to these athletes and to be able to actually get paid for it and to watch it. I never took it for granted. No matter where the game was, I always thanked whomever, all right, to myself. So it didn't come and go without me realizing it. And I think that that's an important lesson in life. No matter where you are, if something good's really going on, relax for a moment and smell the roses. And I did that for 8 years, okay? I didn't think it would come to an end, but it did. And I'm happy for Bucky Brooks. I'm happy for the rest at the Jaguars Radio Network. Again, I'm friends with them all. And I've let it go. I'm looking forward to this show and what we're going to put together here now in 2022. So for those who have been reaching out, I do appreciate it. You can continue to reach out, but I'm not going to say much more about it than that. It was an outstanding run, and I'm very thankful. And, hey, that's the way it goes. Snoop Connor, brand new to the NFL. It was live bullets for the first time a night ago. I think his performance was better than his numbers. I really do. Had an opportunity to talk with the fifth-round draft pick out of Mississippi after the 27-11 loss one night ago. Here's Rick Ballew with Snoop Connor. Here with Snoop Connor, your first ever NFL game. How'd it go?
It went well. Played first quarter. Felt like I had a couple good runs. One catch out the backfield. It was all right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, only two padded practices, and here you are tonight facing live bullets. How difficult was that for you?
I just say at the end of the day, just out of football. You know, I just got to just stick to my course or what I do and be prepared like the coach has been getting me prepared. So I just been, like, at the end of the day, I say just out of football, really.
Yeah. Also an opportunity to return tonight. What was that like?
That was a little different for me. I know in college I was the off returner, so I was blocking. So I just say it's different in the NFL returning to football.
You came up, you worked with Jake a little bit early on. As of late, you've been working with Trevor. Was that different for you tonight, or was it just same old, same old?
It's same. I'll be taking reps from both of them in practice, get hands off from Jake and Trevor.
You had a really good week. I thought Monday and Tuesday, or all these days run together for me. Now I imagine they do for you during training camp. But you had a real strong beginning of the week. So, yeah, you must have felt good going into tonight.
Oh, yeah, I feel good. Just try to go get my best all in practice. And, you know, each day just trying to be, like, getting my playbook, just know everything. Just try to be, like, on top of my game. So when I come out in the game, I just know I'd be comfortable.
What's it like now? You get into regular week mode, you fly back, you get ready for your preparation, then you have a game coming up a week from Friday, so you have 8 days. What's it going to be like?
Really just trying to take care of my body, get rested up, and just try to go back and hit it and keep stacking my days.
Snoop, thank you.
Thank you.
Had a 20-yard kick return last night, did Snoop Connor. I highly doubt he'll be a part of that once the regular season gets underway. Let's face it, there's not a lot of kick returns. Matter of fact, the Jaguar kickers, which I'm pretty bothered about, I'll tell you why in a bit, but they had, for the most part, only allowed one kick last night. I guess they didn't score all that much either, but you get my point. There were touchbacks by both kickers. But a reception last night for Snoop Connor that went for 6 yards and 4 carries, 10 yards. That looks pretty bizarre to me because the eye test said he looked better than 4 carries for 10 yards. And again, sometimes numbers can lie. Very impressed with this guy. And, you know, that's going to be one of the biggest absolute storylines of the 2022 season. Where is Jacksonville with James Robinson? Where is Jacksonville with Travis Etienne? Because if those guys are able to run the football, it changes the entire landscape of your team. It'll make the passing game that much more successful, and you can keep defenses guessing because you can have a balanced offensive attack. If you can't run and you're trailing in games, it's really going to hinder your performance because in this league, players are so smart and coaching staffs are so smart, they just understand that if you can't run the ball, they're going to find ways to totally beat you if you are a one-dimensional football team. I still think it is a not an overwhelming bet, but I think there's a possibility that when it's all said and done, Snoop Connor could lead this team in carries. And I hope I'm wrong. And you know if that's the case, why? Because the other two guys I mentioned aren't able to get out there every Sunday. I hope that doesn't happen. But I feel real good about what we've seen so far with Snoop Connor, really in every phase of the game, being able to pick up some blitzes, catch the football, and certainly lower his pads and run. A nice pickup there for the Jaguars in the fifth round. They just couldn't run the ball last night. And you know, that was what was disappointing to me. I thought, honestly, that we would see, like, you know, Sargent get 10, 11, 12 carries. Cottrell get 7, 8, 9 carries. No. 5 for Sargent. He did have another really good carry, his longest of the night. It was called back because of a holding. Well, that might have actually been the chop block. I honestly don't remember. Cottrell only had 3. Snoop, 4. Willie Johnson around the edge had one. He had a nice game. We'll hear from him a little later in the show. I caught up with him after the game. And only one carry last night for Rock Armstead. But, you know, you go to the first half. Jaguars ran the ball 5 times in the first 30 minutes of play. Those 4 carries for Snoop and 1 for Rock. I mean, that's 5 carries, 12 yards. I don't care who you're playing, where you're playing, and what the situation is. Look at the Raiders last night. 33 carries, 159 yards. Zamir White, the fourth-round rookie, had a big night. Austin Walter, they played Josh Jacobs, which surprised me somewhat. Kenyon Drake had a nice night. Amir Abdullah, who's been around a little bit, maybe in his 5th or 6th year now out of Nebraska. All of a sudden, you look at, you know, the Raiders and their rushing attack, and it's like, whoa, look at what they've got. And then, of course, you know, they've got quality wide receivers, and we didn't see them last night for the most part outside of old friend Keelan Cole. Man, Daniel Thomas, you got to pick up your head. How about that replay? I mean, all the talk, in practice, they're wearing these new furry little compartments or whatever the hell they are on top of the helmets to try to, alleviate the possibility of concussions. And I saw the Robert Saleh, old linebacker coach here, now with the New York Jets, went on to say that he thinks this could teach the wrong lesson, where you can once again lead with your head because you think there's no way you're going to get injured because you have now extra protection and an extra coating. Man, you're told this from Pop Warner the whole way up. The Daniel Thomas hit on Keelan Cole. Watch his head. I mean, it's amazing to me that a professional football player still does that after being told time and again and time and again to not drop your head. He's very lucky he did not get injured last night. Both guys are lucky that they did not get injured. All right, when I come back, I want to spend a minute on the kicking game. I think they screwed it up last night. I do, and I really have a problem with it. My guess is they were told, Santoso, you get the first half, and Fry, you get the second half. And of course, you know, I mean, even in a simple situation like this, you only get one attempt for Santoso. And I didn't like it. I didn't like the plan, and I'm going to talk about it on the other side. So let's come back. Let's do that. Let's also hear from Walker Little, who got 3 starts a year ago at left tackle. He is starting right now as the right tackle. For those of you who do not know, Juwan Taylor out with a hamstring. We'll come back and we'll do that. Your comments, please, on the text line, 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Broadcasting live from Canton, Ohio. My name's Rick Ballew. We're with you tonight till 8.
Renewal by Anderson and 1010XL present constant coverage of one of the biggest events in Jack sports history, Into the Night with Rick Ballew, brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air.
That's going to be a great day tomorrow, no doubt about it. The festivities begin at noon. Tony Boselli going into the Hall of Fame. Talked with Tony last night. Actually had lunch with his mother at the airport during our connecting flight from Jacksonville to Charlotte, then Charlotte to here. Very, very nice lady. I've known her since 1997. And everyone is just really excited about this. And I tell you what, but based on the fans I saw last night and just kind of the interaction around here, I expect Jacksonville to dwarf all of these other fan bases. Also very happy for Leroy Butler. I went to school with Leroy at the same time at Florida State. And, you know, he was more of a corner then, even played in the slot at FSU. And the one kick I get out of Leroy is that, in my opinion, the Lambeau Leap was still invented by Terrell Buckley in 1991 when he picked off Elvis Gerback in the Big House and jumped into the end zone, into the stands. But Leroy's getting all the credit for it, and he ain't giving it back to T-Buck. You know that. So it's going to be a great day tomorrow. Baselli's got a party tomorrow night. They won't even tell you where the party is. It's like under, you know that, JJ? It's like underground. It's like they're sending a shuttle or a limo to pick up those who are going to the party, but they won't tell you where it's at because they don't want anyone coming in and, you know.
Did you think maybe they might not just be telling you where it's at?
Hey, you know what? If that's the case, there's a great hole-in-the-wall dive bar.
I know you already found one.
In walking distance from here, which, you know, I'll be happy there. You know, cheap drafts, cheap Miller Lights.
That's my kind of party.
And Leon and I went out and had a couple of cigars at this great cigar lodge. We're going to do it again tonight. I know that Joe Cowart and others are at the Gold Jacket dinner that's going on right now with all the Hall of Famers, which would have been incredibly cool. Obviously, it's going on right now, and I'm on air. But, yeah, I think Leon and I are going to go back out to that place tonight. The only problem I got is they don't serve beer. They got weird liquor rules here in Ohio where they sell, you know, the best cigars that you can, you know, very good cigars, but it's all liquor. And, you know, this thing begins at noon tomorrow, which means, you know, we're probably going to leave here around 10, 10:30 or something like that. I can't possibly get into the Irish whiskey or any brown liquor tonight or any night if I'm asked to get up the next day.
And I know getting up for you, if they ask you to get up at 10, that's completely too early for you.
It is. Yeah. Man, I slept in big time on what day was it? Yesterday. Thursday morning. It was the most I had slept in an awful long time.
God bless local laws, by the way. They had a sit-down meeting. That was a whole thing where they decided at cigar bars they can't have beer. Like,
yeah.
Think about the money and time that went into such an absurd thing like that.
So I'm talking to some patron who, by the way, I defined him, and he got kind of angry with me. I said I thought he had 4 career kills. He looked like a modern-day serial killer right out here in Ohio. Cersei was laughing his you know what off, but he's like, well, this place shouldn't serve beer anyway because, you know, people can get drunk for very little money. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, if I sit down and drink like 12 to 15 beers, isn't that like you drinking your 2 or 3, you know, vodka cranberries for crying out loud? What do you mean?
So he was trying to say like beer would bring down the environment. Like
exactly.
Floridians would show up, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was just kind of like, you know, every cigar bar.
And you're like, I am one of those guys you're talking about.
Every cigar bar that we know of in Jacksonville and throughout the state of Florida, they absolutely sell.
Yeah.
Sell beer. I mean, anyway, so. We're going to head there tonight. All right, I'm going to play Walker Little, who got the start at right tackle. Before I do that, though, just allow me a minute on the kicking game. I think they missed last night. I'm disappointed in what they did last night as far as the kicking is concerned. And I'm sure Heath Farwell has a plan, and I'm sure it was scripted. And I'm also sure that it probably got ripped in half because Jacksonville could not score, and they were down 20-0. In the first half, you got one kickoff opportunity, and you had a 60-yard field goal attempt, which Ryan Santoso showed that he's got the leg. He just barely missed it right. But this has been, outside of drop balls, it has been arguably the biggest concern so far in training camp. The kicking game has been bad. Mevis has already been sent away. You bring in Fry for a little bit of competition. In my opinion, this is Ryan Santoso's job. So give him some work. Give him more opportunities. And again, everything got screwed up because they couldn't score. I was at least hoping that he was going to get two or three field goal opportunities. I was hoping he'd have a PAT. With that, that would have given him three or four opportunities to show that he can kick the ball out of the end zone. Therefore, touchbacks are going to be routine with Ryan Santoso. No, it didn't happen. And he missed a 60-yarder. And then again, by the second half, they went to the young man. They just brought in recently Elliott Fry, who made a 46-yarder. And, you know, I put it on Twitter last night, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Ryan Santoso needs to be kicking. And then all of a sudden, the people are like, Ryan Santoso's not kicking because Elliott Fry is going to end up being the kicker on this football team. So Doug Peterson, Trent Baalke, they're not going to make decisions based on what fans or the media are saying, but I thought it was a totally lost opportunity last night for the Jaguars by not playing Ryan Santoso. Before I get to the Walker Little interview, JJ, agree, disagree, or don't you care because it's just a kicker?
No, I agree because I thought that it was like, oh, so you're giving this guy a, and I'm using bunny ears, air quotes, a shot by giving him a 60-yarder. Like, that's not very fair in my book.
Yeah. Hey, the positive of that,
he kicked him pretty damn long.
Right. And the other positive of that is Doug Peterson, remember how he won a Super Bowl? Remember how aggressive he was
Absolutely.
Against New England in the Super Bowl 2 weeks after Doug Marrone and Nate Hackett played the most passive, soft, predictable, controlled offense football that we have ever seen during the second half of the AFC Championship game. To this day, it should boil your blood. They did not try to win that game. Doug Peterson tried to win it 2 weeks later. Last night's a meaningless preseason game. He goes, sure, let's try to get the juices flowing here. Santoso, line up, 60-yarder. Let's see what you got. I think that's a good sign.
By the way, do you remember Doug Peterson putting in his book
Yeah.
Sort of like taking a shot at Doug Marrone and company about them not trying to win that game?
He should take a shot. I mean, Jacksonville had a chance to do the unthinkable, beat New England in New England. And for long-term Jaguar fans, you got to be kidding me. Go back and look at those drives. I actually have it saved. As soon as we have a downtime, I'll go through it again. They ran on first down on all four of their last four drives. They passed on second down on all four of their second drives. They passed on third down on all four of their third down drives. And many of those passes were incomplete. So here was a team that was trying to get out of there and watch the time click. And they ended up passing the ball and they weren't completing passes. And the time did not come off the clock. It was a terrible performance. It just got awful. Back during that AFC champ. And Nate Hackett's a head coach now. Doug Marrone, by the way, is no longer with Nick Saban at Alabama. He's now the offensive line coach for the New Orleans Saints. Speaking of the offensive line, Walker Little, three left tackle starts a year ago, started at right tackle last night. I caught up with him in the locker room after the game.
First opportunity tonight, face another team. How did it go?
It was good. I mean, I thought we went out there and competed, tried to run our offense and just do the little things right, communicate, getting back out there for the first time. You know, we haven't had a whole lot of training camp practices, so it was good getting some of the rust off. And I felt like, you know, we did a good job, and we still got a lot of stuff to build on, but, you know, we're heading the right direction.
Did the delay do anything to you? I know you guys go through your regime. Doesn't that matter?
I mean, it definitely, you know, throws you off for a second, but as soon as you get out there and you're playing, it's just football again, so not too bad now.
Yeah, you weren't next to Brandon tonight. How did that change for you?
It was no big deal. I was next to Wes Martin. He's a great player, and stepped in, and I thought we did a really good job on the right side and the whole offense line as a whole.
You've been working, you know, you've worked with Jake a little bit, but you've been working as of late with Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
Does that have any difference to you as far as cadence or anything that you're doing at the line of scrimmage?
Obviously, they'll come off with totally different cadences, but I mean, we work with all the quarterbacks and during walkthroughs and stuff throughout the weeks, and they're all, you know, not too far off from each other, and you know, as long as they're consistent with it, it's easy for us. And you know, Jake's a great quarterback, and so I thought he did a really good job of leading us tonight and keeping us on rhythm.
All right, a lot of starters did not go tonight. What did you learn?
Yeah, I mean, it was just getting back into football again, really. It's been a long time since you've been playing a real football game, and just getting back in, like I said, getting back in the rhythm of things, getting back to hitting people for real and being able to finish on plays. And yeah, I thought we did a good job, and we're going to keep working, keep getting better, and you know, working towards Cleveland now.
Jaguars right tackle Walker Little.
That was last night, Walker Little. I thought he had a very good performance, okay, particularly in pass protection. Now, he was going up against backups. I'm not going to anoint him anything that is over the top, because I have a feeling it would have been a little bit different if Chandler Jones and Max Crosby were on the edges last night for the Raiders. But all you can measure it with is who we went up against. And I thought Walker Little did a real good job last night at right tackle. I thought Luke Fortner, the starting center, had a good game last night. There were a couple of mistakes, and that's going to happen for a rookie. And for Walker Little, I mean, he's basically a rookie as well, because he's playing a new position. Again, at Stanford, the guy played, what, one game in 2 years? And now he got 3 starts last year when Cam Robinson went down on the left side. So you're talking about, really right now, honestly, you're talking about 3 linemen who are real new at what they're being asked to do. Center Luke Fortner at a pro level. Ty Shatley at left guard, who it seems like he plays every year because Brandon Linder got hurt every year, but that was a center. And now you have Walker Little, a left tackle by trade, playing right tackle. So you got 3 offensive linemen that are kind of learning on the job here. And they're pros. Hopefully it comes to them quick. I want to see that offensive line be fully intact, hopefully as early as next Friday during the home opener. So comments, absolutely bring them. Thank you to Walker Little. We'll hear from Luke Fortner in hour number 2. Also going to hear from Willie Johnson, a guy who's trying to lay some tape and hopefully make a roster around the NFL. I still think he's absolutely a long shot to make it here in Jacksonville. Chad Muma, maybe the one of the most talked about players of a night ago. It seemed to get mixed reviews on Muma. Some very good, some not so good. So we'll hear from him all coming up in hour number 2. Again, the best way to get a hold of us is on the text line brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures, and that number is 641-1010. You can also get me on Twitter, Baloo1010XL. Hour number 2 coming up next, live from Canton.
Renewal by Anderson and 1010XL present Tony Baselli's Hall of Fame Induction Weekend Canton. Into the Night with Rick Ballew. Live from the place where dreams do come true. Brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air.
All right, final hour this week out in Canton. Tony Baselli going to the Hall of Fame tomorrow. Back in Jacksonville. And we'll be ready to roll next week, beginning Monday, our show from 6 until 8. By the way, we're on the road next week, Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday from 6 to 8 out at Monkey's Uncle out the beach. Party sponsored by Miller Lite. Thursday, down the road a little bit, down A1A. South, we'll be at Mr. Chubby's on Thursday, 6 to 8. So looking forward to that next Wednesday and Thursday on the road. Of course, Friday, preseason game number 2. All right, let's get to the defense here a little bit. Last night, the eye test, you know, it wasn't good outside of, you know, I thought Cisco played well. I thought Trey Herndon did some nice things. I thought Buster Brown, who's had a real good practice in the first couple of weeks, he allowed no hands Johnson to get behind him. He couldn't make the grab, but he can't let that happen if he's going to be part of this football team. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Arden Key. We've talked a lot about Trayvon Walker. There was even some positive things that were said last night about Kalavon Chaisson. Issues that really stuck out that were not positive for the Jaguars: the ability to stop the run and the dreaded screen game. Well, Doug Peterson was asked about the screen game last night, and here's what he said.
Yeah, screens kind of can kind of come in bunches and waves. Sometimes you're good at them, sometimes you're not. And when you don't game plan teams and you're just really trying to evaluate and run your offense and defense, which you've been doing for the last, you know, week and a half or so, sometimes they're hard to see. These screens were called, you know, first down, second down, not your typical third down screen. So just being aware, you know, and understanding, you know, how a team might, you know, might play and impact you.
I think that answer's fine. Okay. There's truth to that. Obviously there's, you know, in football 1-on-1, it's not said that you can't run a screen on first down and second down, but you know, for the most part, screens are run on third down, and it just felt like Jacksonville struggled in that area last night. They struggled on the dump down last night. I'm more concerned with misassignments. It felt like they weren't in the right place, and I'm going to get to Chad Muma here in just 1 minute. But you know, it felt like they were perhaps thinking a little bit too much. I also thought they were sloppy with their tackling, and I would love to be able to sit here right now and say that was because they've only had two padded practices, that the tackling will improve next Friday night in preseason game number two. Jacksonville last year allowed 125.1 yards a game. They were tied for 24th in the NFL. That's actually, I mean, on the surface, it's real bad, but when you win three games, it's not as bad as it could have been. However, that has always been Jacksonville's worst statistical category. I talk about it often. I had a long conversation with John Osher about it on Wednesday night. Even the great defenses that Jacksonville had in 2017, 2018, when they were top five in nearly every statistical category, they struggled against the run. And in that situation, they were winning games, so teams were balanced and teams were coming from behind. They were forced to pass. And still, that overall defending the run statistic was one that was not positive for the Jaguars. So if you look at last night, you know, I got to believe that they're going to be much better against the run when Fatukase is in there, when Aloha Khan, who led the NFL in tackles last year, is going to be an off-the-ball linebacker. Devin Lloyd certainly is built for this as a guy that is going to have a tremendous amount of tackles once he gets healthy. You know, Josh Allen is more than just a rush end. He wasn't playing last night. So I do think the run defense is going to get much better. With that said, I think the one guy where it's kind of a mixed review as to how he did last night is third-round pick out of Wyoming, Chad Muma. You look on social media, a lot of positive things, also some negative things. I can't believe negative things and people would actually say it's not going to work with this guy based on one preseason game. I mean, come on, man. Is the shelf life that short for anyone at this particular time? Let's go to Chad Muma. Caught up with him last night after the Jaguars' 27-11 loss to the Raiders.
First NFL game here with Chad Muma. How'd it go?
It was good. I mean, it's great getting that experience and that first one out of the way. There's obviously things that, you know, I need to work on and get better at. But it was nice being able to go out there, put the pads on, hit someone other than, you know, the Jags offense.
Is it one of those deals where maybe you're thinking too much first NFL game instead of just going out and playing football?
Oh, I definitely think that. I think I got out there and was just thinking and your mind's going 100 miles an hour. And, you know, at the end of the day, after this first one, you just really got to, you know, slow the game down, take it play by play. So you just go out there and, you know, play.
Yeah, the Raiders offensively, they had a lot of different looks, threw the ball, ran the ball. A little surprised maybe they amped it up a little bit in this first game.
Yeah, I mean, we had some clarification going into this game of what they would kind of be doing. But, I mean, at the end of the day, football's football. It's just making those plays. And, you know, it's nothing super unique that we were seeing out tonight. It's just, you know, fitting up those plays the right way.
You've seen it in the last couple weeks of practice, but just the speed of this level, you know, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's going to be an increase in speed. I think you just see it everywhere that, you know, the O-line's faster, the, you know, everyone's faster. But I think that's the thing I noticed the most, just how quickly the O-line can climb up to you. And I think it's just something you got to get used to and develop and, you know, get used to it real quick so you can go out there and play.
What did you learn from this that you'll be able to take with you next Friday in the home opener?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, playing and not thinking. And you know, at the end of the day, I'm just going to go out there and, you know, communicate with everyone on the defense and make the plays and just not really hype, like, think too much about everything.
Appreciate the time, Chad. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, his first game last night, Chad Mumma. Again, kind of mixed results. Very positive ones, in my opinion, for Trayvon Walker and Snoop Connor. In my opinion, Connor better than the stats would show. Feel the same way about Luke Fortner. Okay, thought he did some nice things last night as a rookie. Wish we saw more out of Lawan Winningham. He did make an 8-yard reception, but, you know, he's been a guy that's turned a lot of heads so far in practice and just didn't get that opportunity, unfortunately, last night. Devin Lloyd did not play. Talked a little bit about Buster Brown. I think he's clearly ahead right now of Gregory Jr., Benji Franklin, a couple of things, not as much as I would have liked. And again, by the time he was in, it was basically players going against players who aren't going to be in this league. I do think Franklin has a chance to be the final corner. If not, absolutely, they would like to put him on the practice squad, in my opinion. You know, two other guys who made plays and have made plays in camp, Israel Antwine, had a sack last night. Rookie out of Oklahoma State, undrafted, and Deshaun Dixon as a linebacker. You know, all of a sudden I wonder, could he possibly fit in somewhere? You know, JJ, there's two positions on this football team that I believe you could go out into the once the waiver wires, you know, and the cuts are made and they get down to 53, where this team could find some more depth. One for me is the interior offensive line, guard and center. I'm just not big on McDermott. I'm trying to get big on Wes Martin. It hasn't happened. Coy Kronk, you know, Nick Ford, in my opinion, cut himself last night with a couple of bad mistakes. So I'm going to say interior offensive line. And even though I'm trying to praise Shaq Quarterman and Chad Mumma, I do wonder, could they find another veteran backup inside linebacker if one does become available? Those would be the two positions for me. Anything stand out for you?
Well, I think if you can just make a snap in general, you're better than Casey McDermott. I would say running back, too, you can find just about anybody. And like you were saying earlier, a quarterback desperately needed. And I'm sure you could find some random, you know, guy in a couple games bring in just as a camp arm.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. And I don't think either one of the two are going to be able to hang on. I don't know where they're going to go. I just checked the text line and got, you know, obviously a lot on Blake Bortles, who remains, you know, one of the more popular guys now.
You know,
perhaps
EJ,
more popular
whatever
now
his,
than he was when he played.
EJ, whatever his name is, must have been terrible. That's all
Perry?
I know. Yeah, for him
yeah,
to
we
not
got
even
hurt.
Make it this far. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they released him because, you know, they said that he was nicked up, and they gave him $230,000
yeah.
guaranteed. And they just said goodbye to him. You know, I think once we get to that point, you're basically lost for the season anyway. But I think it does make sense to try to find someone who's young that you can hopefully develop. And I don't think that's going to be the case with either one of these two particular quarterbacks. But we'll see. As far as the constant conversation about why can't this team stop a screen, why can't this team defend the run, again, I think you have to look at the personnel that was out there on the football field last night. I totally expect that to change in the way of it being positive with the starters and key backups being a part of it. I mean, they spent a lot of money on Fatakase, and they spent a ton of money on Aloha Khan. And they drafted Devin Lloyd where, you know, I think most thought they were going to get a wide receiver late in the first round with that second pick. They moved up to get him. So as far as I'm concerned, that overall run defense will get better simply by personnel, but only time will tell. All right, when we come back, we got much more to do. After last night's game, some other interviews. We'll go back into the locker room. You'll hear from the rookie out of Kentucky, Luke Fortner, who started last night and, you know, hasn't even been asked to frankly go out and win the job. He had the job from day one, and he's had it in every practice. He had it last night in the first preseason game for the Jaguars. So we'll get an opportunity to talk with him. Also, Willie Johnson, who, you know, basically did it all last night. Had a kick return, obviously had a reverse, ran the ball, and he's a long shot to make the team, but I had a chance to talk with him as well. So all of that is coming up. Again, all your comments, best way to get us is on the text line. That is 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. You can also get me on Twitter. That is Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL.
Renewal by Anderson and 1010XL present constant coverage of one of the biggest events in Jack sports history. Into the Night with Rick Ballou, brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air.
We are here for Tony Boselli. He goes in the Hall of Fame tomorrow. Plan on being back here in 2 to 3 years when Fred Taylor goes into the NFL Hall of Fame. My apology to each and every one of you out there. It was a punt return by Willie Johnson last night, not a kick return. And by the way, it wasn't a touchdown because it was a penalty, that, which you just can't have. You just can't have it. But I want to apologize, and as far as I'm concerned, I think that is the only mistake I've made here in Canton, Ohio. Okay? Would you agree, JJ?
I wouldn't even call that a mistake, Rick.
Are you ready for this?
An oversight.
I think we're going to start a new segment here, maybe do it once or twice a week, and we're going to call it Stuff You Can't Make Up, all right? Right here on the outskirts of Canton, down the road in Cleveland, okay? Of course, the now home of Deshaun Watson and the gutless Roger Goodell has once again passed the buck. He will not be the decision maker on the appeal. Instead, he has handed that off to someone else. But obviously, with Deshaun Watson, everything that's gone on, you think of the young ladies involved with the massages. Yet, it's going to be Cleveland is now going to host next month the National Massage Therapist Convention.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Out of all the places in the United States of America, the National Massage Therapist Convention is in the now home of Deshaun Watson in Cleveland, Ohio.
And
how
you,
about that?
Do you think he's allowed to attend?
No. I would say there's not a chance. Here's another thing that you just can't make up, and this one really pains me to say, but I'm going to get to it anyway. There was a 22-year-old who in India died as a result of a snake bite. His older brother, a 38-year-old, visited the village, went to the funeral. He was bit by a snake while he was sleeping, and he died.
I got a crazier one. So there's an,
crazier than that?
Yes. There was, like, I think this was in Africa. There was an elephant who ended up, like, I don't know what the word is, but he killed a woman. Like, he trampled a woman. And during her funeral, that same elephant is videotaped coming in and trampling all over the funeral and like, hurting guests. Same exact elephant. He hated that lady.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's just unfair. I've always been under the impression that snakes, and unless you're like a python or a boa, I thought like poisonous snakes, if you're like dead asleep, I thought they'd just go right by you.
They leave
you
alone.
I mean, isn't that the deal that there's, I guess, there should be like a snake code. You know, like moccasins you always hear are aggressive, but it's typically when you're walking towards them, maybe you're looking for your golf ball out in the weeds or out towards the pond, and, you know, rattlesnakes always give you that fair warning with a rattle unless you sneak up on one and step. This guy's sleeping in a village. And while he's asleep, a snake comes up and bites him. I'm calling foul on that.
I'm assuming the living situation in that village is a tad different than you at home.
Mm. Yeah.
Not much of a door probably on there.
Don't know. I have no idea. Again, it happened in India.
Yeah, there you go.
That came in today, but I was pretty shocked to see that. All right, let's get back to last night's game. Luke Fortner is we haven't heard from Luke yet, have we?
Oh.
No, we have not. Okay, Luke Fortner, again, this is another guy that is going to be plugged in, it appears now, as an immediate starter for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Young man out of Kentucky is going to be the center for the 2022 Jaguars. His first ever NFL game last night. Had a chance to catch up with him right after it went final.
Here with Luke Fortner, first game, and after a couple weeks of practice, how did it go out there?
Yeah, I think it went well. I think personally I made a few mistakes, and as an offensive line we need to be a little more consistent in the run game there, but I think for a good first game for myself it was a good starting point, and now I know what I need to work on and go from there.
Were you surprised with the Raiders? Did they show you perhaps a little bit more, a couple of blitzes and some things that maybe I didn't expect in the first game?
I think it was good. I think we kind of had an idea of what to expect going in, and that's what they did, and I think maybe certain cases need to do a better job of handling it, and part of that's on me, so I think going from here on out we'll be ready.
Only two padded practices and then you get a game. I got to imagine that was different for you.
Yeah, definitely weird. Usually in college you go a whole month of full pads and then you get in the game, so definitely a quick turnaround, but thankfully it kind of like riding a bike.
Yeah. You've been the starter since camp started, and you're working with Trevor. Tonight you get out there with Jake. How different is that as far as just cadence and everything else?
It was pretty similar. Jake's a great quarterback, and we've worked a lot together, in preparation for this. And in OTAs, we took a lot of snaps together, so it wasn't too much of a hiccup.
You had Walker at the right tackle, but the other three were different. Basically the same question. How hard was that?
Honestly, it really wasn't much of a drop off. All those guys out there played a lot of snaps, and they were the ones helping me out there most of the time.
Bocelli gets into the Hall of Fame. He walked out. I know you're somewhat of a history guy, and you went to the Hall of Fame the other day. You guys are flying back tonight, so I imagine you'll check it on TV. But you ever talk with him? Are you aware of what he's done with this franchise?
I've learned a lot about it in the past few weeks, and what he's done and what he's contributed to this organization and got it off the ground, and I've yet to have a chance to talk to him, but I'm looking forward to it.
Last one for you, Luke. When you get back, you get into regular season mode now with a game coming up. Tomorrow will be exactly 1 week. How do things change after the short week here?
Yeah, I think it becomes a lot of mental and just continuing to work on consistency, and you learn how to do everything correctly. Now, can you implement that? Can you do it day to day, every single day? I think the mental part increases as well.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Luke Fortner, rookie, starting center out of Kentucky. I know who it was who said, "Do you have any deodorant, bro?"
But yeah, that's a rookie mistake.
I'm not going to throw him under the bus. I'm just not going to do it. Actually, I'm not 100% positive as to who that was.
See, I always thought, if you're on an NFL team, I thought that sort of stuff would be provided for you. But
it is.
Oh.
It is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think you might have nailed it as being a rookie. Yeah. Hey, listen. Everything you can imagine is provided for
right,
you.
Right.
And even in the locker room last night, from sandwiches, the Crustables, the bananas, the all sorts of different type of bars or whatever. Soap, shampoo, deodorant, all that stuff is there. There's nothing that isn't available for these professional athletes. So yeah, I'm sure that being a rookie probably came into play last night with that. And overall, I look at the rookies, and I think they're doing some pretty good things here. And Trent Baalke became basically somewhat of a villain. He became, everyone's anger was pointed towards Trent Baalke. And I understand it because in some circles, it still felt like, Jacksonville's half pregnant. How can you blow up the whole thing but then leave a GM? You know, if you're going to start from scratch, start from scratch. And, it was rocky early on. You know that. I know that. Jim Caldwell, Doug Peterson both brought in early. Then 30-some-odd days went by where many other coaches were brought in, and there were rumors of this and rumors of that, and they settle on Peterson. But it took so long, and it shouldn't, because they had a head start. And it cost them, Trent Baalke being at the Senior Bowl all week, and for as far as the scouting analysis, and there were just some mistakes that were made. Everything feels good now, and they're working in unison to the point where someone above Trent Baalke, which we were told was going to happen from owner Shad Khan, didn't. Because the relationship of Peterson and Baalke has been so strong, they hired under him as an assistant GM, but all of a sudden things look pretty good. We need to see him play. But the first couple of draft classes now could end up being really promising for Trent Baalke. Especially if Travis Etienne does what is expected out of him in year two. We've all been raving about Tyson Campbell. We just heard from Walker Little a little while ago. Walker Little, it would have been different if it was Max Crosby or Chandler Jones. But if you look at Walker Little and what he did a night ago, there's absolutely no question that he is off to a good start. And, you just continue all the way through there. Jay Tufele has had a couple of good practices early on. So if you look at what – and Andre Sisco is another. If you look at that and then you look at what he's done so far this year and without, really anything to look upon as opposed to what we saw one night ago, who knows what could end up happening here. So maybe a little bit of credit will end up going his way despite the massive amounts of criticism that he has received so far this year from fans and the media alike. All right, we got much more to do. We're going to take you up until 8 o'clock tonight. Hacker is here. He is going to come on and join you at 8. We'll also hear, we've done just about every interview, we've got to hear from Willie Johnson, who, I don't think is going to be a part of things here. And he even kind of says as much during the interview. He talks about laying down tape and making it available for the other teams. But he proved it last night as a return guy. He ran the ball as well on a reverse. He caught some balls. So he basically did it all last night. Granted, it was against reserves from the Raiders, but certainly want to give him an opportunity to get on in as well. So all of that coming up, and we'll take you again till 8 o'clock. Then Hacker will join you. We are live from Canton, Ohio with JJ. My name is Rick Ballew.
Renewal by Anderson and 1010XL present Tony Baselli's Hall of Fame Induction Weekend Canton Into the Night with Rick Ballew, live from the place where dreams do come true. Brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air.
All right, thank you to Snyder Heating and Air for sending us out here. Tony Baselli going in tomorrow. Really looking forward to that. Noon, he will be fifth. Jacksonville's Leroy Butler will be first up. And then Baselli's party tomorrow night should be scary. Looking forward to that as well. To break away from football for just one second, JJ, did you see Justin Verlander yesterday? Another six innings, no runs. Man's insane.
How many wins does he have this year, too?
15-3 mm-hmm. with an ERA of 1.73. I mean, the guy's going to be 40 in February. He's now over 130 innings, so his automatic $25 million option has been picked up for the 2023 season. And he's up to 241 wins now, I'm telling you.
He could do it.
If he can win, let's say he can win another six or seven this year and get up to 246, 247, 248 in that range. He's still going to have to win 50-some-odd games, but this guy is absolutely getting better. And remember, with that surgery, he basically took 2 years off. He had one start in 2 years after he had Tommy John surgery.
And basically the antithesis of Verlander is going on in Los Angeles with Clayton Kershaw, who had to leave another game with like back tightness or something. They're not sure what's going to happen. He's going to miss probably a month. While one older guy is worn down over the years, another guy, like you said, is like catching his second wind. He could get there, man. And by the way, the Astros, I mean, the Yankees were the talk of the town in the American League for the first few months of the season, but the Astros are the best team in the AL.
Yeah, I want to say the Yankees are like 14-16 since the beginning of July. Joe Cowart's a big Dodger guy, and yesterday I was with him. I was like, bro, Clayton took himself out to begin the fifth. He was warming up and just removed himself. They put him on the injured list now. So, I mean, the guy's made 14 starts all year. If you're the Dodgers at this particular point, do you basically just rest him and try to get him ready, you know, for the month of October, or what is going to be the case there? But
people scoffed, including myself, when they took him out of a perfect game earlier this season. But it doesn't seem that crazy, you know, now that you see what happened the rest of his season.
Yep. 2005, Blue, our offensive line could not push their defensive line. Was that the Raiders' second string? It was. Yep, absolutely. It was, and vice versa. You talked about the great pressure by Trayvon Walker last night, the pressure by Arden Key last night. Walker was going up against the backup left tackle and Brandon Parker, who did get many starts last year with Las Vegas as a right tackle. But yes, it was. And, you know, I'm not here to make excuses, but you had two starters in. And with those two starters, Luke Fortner, it was his first ever NFL game, and Walker Little played on the right side for the first time. His three starts last year came at left tackle, okay? And that is the position that he is he has played most. The 770, the 7770 says, you owe it all to Big Bo to get him blank-faced tomorrow night. we'll let him handle that the way he wants. I know it's going to be a fun time because there's going to be a lot of his former teammates that are going to be there, and a lot of friends are in town. But nonetheless, we'll see what happens there. Rick, a lot of people are going to start dunning the Jags after last night. Well, what they need to remember is most other teams, including the Raiders, didn't have to spend all of their free agency or draft picks solidifying or beefing up their starting roster. We did, and the majority of those guys are not out there last night. Well, you're dead on. 21 players didn't play last night, including 15 starters. Okay? And if you go to last year's two deep, and again, it's somewhat unfair, because when you look at a two deep, all right, you know you play five offensive linemen. That's it. And you play a quarterback. That's it. So instead of it being 22, and in this case 44, if you look at it too deep, let's take six away from that equation right off the get-go. And, you know, typically your corners don't go anywhere. Anyway, they have more than 20 out of their 44 on this year's two deep who are brand-new Jaguars. Draft picks and free agents. 20. It's unbelievable. I mean, just look at this team. Fortner, Sheriff, Ingram, Kirk, Zay Jones. You go to Etienne, who was hurt last year. Certainly, you look at, I guess that's it for the offense. Snoop Connor, who is on it now because of the injury to James Robinson. You get to the defense, you got Fatakase, you've got Trayvon Walker, you got Aloha Khan, you've got Devin Lloyd, you've got Chad Muma, you've got Shaq Quarterman, you've got Darius Williams, you've got Andre Sisco. Maybe Sisco was a backup last year, but, so I guess I cannot include him. It's amazing. The players that I just mentioned, all, you know, Arden Key, all totally different from what we saw a year ago. So, yeah. I get it. You know, you're you wanted to, it's your weekend, and you wanted to hang your hat on something that was positive. And let's face it, the game just started in an awful way, and before you know it, it's halftime, and you're down 20-0, and I'm sure you would have liked to have enjoyed a long put-together scoring drive, you know, and maybe some more field goal attempts and some things like that, so you could have gotten a better feel out of Ryan Santoso. So unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Before we get to the Willie Johnson interview, JJ, what did you see last night? You see anything that stood out for you that was good? Anything that really concerned you that was bad?
Yeah, all of it concerned me. I think the defense is bad. They're going to be terrible again. It makes me just really scared about the offense. I saw somebody tweet last night a great point that this offense has been struggling. Excuse me, the first team offense has been struggling against this defense throughout camp. And it's like, how? That's scary to think about. This defense got ran all over. I think it's going to be – I feel bad for Trevor.
Yeah. Well, yes, but, I mean, the defense is going to be better when you have Fatakase in the middle.
Exactly.
You have Loacon.
I mean,
Devin Lloyd
are they going to be? Do we know
No,
that?
I think so. I mean, I hope so. If not, then – I mean, listen, their starting contain was there, and they had Roy Robertson Harris, and they played Trayvon. So they had six starters that were out there. But I would like to see that – you know, I'd like to say that you know, you didn't have Malcolm Brown out there last night. You didn't have Fatakase out there last night. You didn't have Aloakon and Devin Lloyd as linebackers. And you didn't have arguably your best player, Josh Allen, out there. I hope that makes a difference.
Well,
if
the Raiders didn't have
right
anybody
on.
Either, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Raiders are a better team. Raiders are a playoff team. No argument here. I mean, the Raiders were absolutely, in every phase of the game, they were a better team and they were better prepared than Jacksonville last night. No argument there.
This is why, like, camp talk to me, I always got to take it with a grain of salt because it seems like it's like this every single year. You know, we have to hype these guys. I get it. But, like, until you see them out there against a different team, you really have no idea what you're going to get.
No, and thankfully they get another opportunity to practice here at the end of the month with Atlanta because – I'm not going to start off the Doug Peterson regime by criticizing him right out of the gate. But I do wonder and have wondered why he didn't take advantage of practicing a little bit earlier, like the Raiders did. I mean, he set the veterans home at the end of the, you know, that whole voluntary minicamp didn't exist. Mandatory minicamp didn't exist. He sent them home. And the other side of it is like, well, wait a minute. Who am I to question this guy? He won a freaking Super Bowl, and he won a Super Bowl without stars at skill position, and he did it with a backup quarterback. So, you know, this guy has earned the right to do things the way he sees fit. But it was crystal clear last night that they had only practiced twice with pads on. They weren't nearly as physical as the Raiders. Let's wrap it up with a guy who's a long shot to make the team but did some nice things one night ago. That is Willie Johnson, and I talked with him after the Jaguars' 27-11 loss to the Raiders.
Here with Willie Johnson after the Jaguars' first preseason game, and quite an opportunity for you tonight. You made some big plays.
Yes, sir, absolutely, man. It's a blessing to get out there and show my talent, man. Great opportunity.
Tell us about the return.
Just went with the flow. God set it up, set the blocking up. Great for me to do what I can do.
You did what you did, and you scored a touchdown. I got to imagine it's a little bit heartbreaking to find out there was a flag on the field.
Yes, sir. I didn't even know about the flag, but it's still a great opportunity to put film, tape on film.
Yep, you absolutely. And you made some big grabs tonight as well. So, you know, in my opinion, this was a big step forward for you. How you feeling right now despite the fact the team lost?
I mean, we're going to get back on this plane, get back to work tomorrow, watch film, see what we can correct, and go from there.
Yep. The ball's coming to you tonight. You know, Trevor obviously didn't play, but beginning with Jake, how did the quarterbacks look in your opinion?
Great. Still a lot of work to be done. Get back in the lab and do what we do best next week.
Preparation for the week. It's a full week for you, getting a regular game mode with the game coming up in 8 days. What's that going to be like?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
Regular mode, you know, week
game mode for you coming up this week with a game in 8 days? What's it going to be like now not to have a quick week like you just went through?
Nothing different, man. Just get back to work, focus on the little things, make our corrections, and hit it running hard, and be back next week to do what we do best.
Thank you, Willie.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So, you know, last night I thought the Jaguars, for the most part, were in a very basic offense, okay, outside of that nice reverse to Willie Johnson, who, you know, I think it's a long shot to make this team. I think the six wide receivers are set. Jeff Cotton Jr. continues to make some nice plays, and he did last night. It'll be interesting to see how he fits into the equation, along with Juwan Winningham, who only got one attempt last night. It was an 8-yard reception. I was a little bit disappointed with that. But, you know, Willie Johnson is probably an odd man looking out. But who knows? Maybe he could get on with another club. He did show some decent skill last night when he was given that opportunity. You know, mistakes were made. And, you know, I'm trying to find a way to – it feels like the mistakes that were made last night were by players – who are not going to be on this team. And I don't know if that makes you feel any better. The one thing that I did like is that we didn't have false start penalties. We didn't have, delay a game penalties. There were not issues where they were trying to get guys on the field. Las Vegas dealt with that last night. So, you know, I'm trying to look for some sort of a silver lining, because it just, I can feel it, and the disappointment that's rolling in is expected, because it was not a good performance. But I also just want to remind you that I think this Friday is a 1 week from tonight is a much better feel as to what is really going on, and I would expect that we're going to see the starters at least play early on in that game. I'd play him this week. I'd play him next week. You know, against Atlanta in 3 weeks, you can decide maybe to sit him down, although you do have the 2 weeks this year until the September 11th start date, not 1 week. So as far as I'm concerned, they get a little bit of a break because of that particular reason, but that won't be the case next Friday night. They are going to have to certainly improve, and it's going to be the little things.
Do you think they see Deshaun on Friday?
That's a great question. Why not? He's not going to play for a month and a half, exactly. And the way things look, he may not play all year. You know what? That's I haven't even given that a moment's thought. That is a very interesting question.
That would be a hell of a warm-up for the Jags defense.
It really will. And I'm interested to see what the crowd's going to be like, you know, when he comes out and takes the field and all of that stuff. So, you know, the six-game suspension, I guess I didn't even read the fine print on it. I know it's the first 6 games of the year.
Oh, he's allowed to play in preseason.
But I think he's allowed to give it a go.
Yeah.
In the preseason. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you to Snoop Connor, Luke Fortner, Walker Little, Chad Muma, Willie Johnson for joining us here. Had a chance to catch up with them last night after the Jaguars lost. JJ, appreciate your effort this week. Have a great weekend.
Safe travels, my friend.
No doubt. Tony Boselli goes into the Hall of Fame tomorrow. Looking forward to observing that here in Canton, then going to Tony's party tomorrow night. That should be a whole heck of a lot of fun. Folks, I don't check the text line now that the show is over. If you want to comment to me, please do so on Twitter. That is Baloo1010XL. Hackers coming up right now. My name's Rick Baloo. I will talk with you Monday at 6 o'clock right here on the Home of the Jags. Yeah.